This is the Cross of Grace Lutheran Church Sermon Podcast. On August 6, 2017, we gathered to worship on the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Mark Havel preached from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21.
Now when Jesus heard this, when he heard that John the Baptist had died, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now getting late. Send the crowds away so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up toward heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And then the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and all were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So usually we think, I believe most of us, about the feeding of the 5,000 as one of Jesus' greatest hits, as Pastor Aaron said. Maybe the great miracle if there were a popularity contest. You've got the water to wine and the walking on water and the healing here and there throughout the Gospels. And then there's this feeding of the 5,000 most of us have heard about once or twice before, right? So we wonder about how in the world Jesus could take just two fish and five loaves and stretch them out to feed that many people. We marvel at all those leftovers, 12 baskets full, and the idea that if there were about 5,000 men, not including women and children, how many people must Jesus really have fed that day? I've wondered over the years at the compassion Jesus had to muster for all those people that afternoon, when we're told all he really wanted to do was to be alone and grieve over the death of John the Baptist. It's amazing to think about all the people he must have healed or taught or sat down and listened to that day in the midst of his grief. And I've always wondered, too, what it was that Jesus said to himself or prayed to God when he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke those loaves before he did what he did with them for all those people. But the disciples were there too. While it's easy to wonder about all the other stuff, to focus on the size of the crowds and the lack of the food and the miracle and the magic of all that Jesus did, this time around I found myself thinking more about the disciples. Because it had been a long day. They were probably tired. "Come on, Jesus," they say, "time's up. Let's lose this crowd and let's get something to eat. These people are probably hungry. They've got to be ready to get some food for themselves. Let's get out of here so that we can do the same." And in the face of their questions, in response to all of that, in spite of their laziness, whatever it may have been for them, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." What do you mean? Feed them? Maybe you haven't noticed, Jesus, but there's like 5,000 people on this hillside. All we have with us are five loaves of bread and a couple of stinky fish. And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." See, the miracle is a good one, and it makes a great story. But if we only focus on what Jesus prayed or on trying to figure out how he did what he did, or on the crowds, or on those fish, or on that bread. We're missing the point, I think. Just like last week's gospel really wasn't about yeast or mustard seed, just like the week before that wasn't really about weeds or good seeds or gardening, today isn't really about fish or bread or a picnic on the hillside either. For me, the gospel, the good news in this story about the feeding of the 5,000 is found in Jesus' short, simple command to his disciples: you give them something to eat. Sure, the disciples were skeptical. Yes, Jesus does whatever he does to make the food go as far as it goes, but what he says and what the disciples do is even more profound and powerful, if you ask me. You give them something to eat. Don't send them away. Don't look for a way out of this. Don't hope for somebody else to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow even. You give them something to eat. And don't we sound or act and behave like the disciples too much of the time? We don't have enough bread. Whether that's time or money, whether that's energy or willingness or ability, whether that's faith or love or compassion or whatever, we are skeptical people. We are pessimistic, we are preoccupied, distracted, lazy, uninspired, selfish, insecure, unconvinced. We are a whole lot of things. And a lot of the time, if you're anything like me, we are full of a whole lot of excuses. But just like the disciples in the gospel, Jesus gives us something even greater than our best excuses. He gives us more than just another miracle or a magic trick, too, because Jesus gives us something better even than bread and fish to chew on. This is not about bread or fish. Jesus reveals to us just what a high opinion God has of God's people. Not only the lost and the lonely, all those sick and needy souls on the hillside that day for whom Jesus shows so much compassion, but Jesus reveals to those disciples and to us in the telling what a high regard and high opinion God has of all of God's children who believe in and who want to follow him with any measure of faith. What I hear Jesus saying is, don't wait for someone else to do this. Don't pretend you don't have the time or the skills or the resources to do God's bidding in this world. Don't pretend you're not qualified or capable. Don't put it off for another day or another time or a moment when it might be more convenient for you. Don't even wait for me to do it in your place. You give them something to eat. A few weeks ago, Derek and Sarah Ostermeyer approached me after worship to talk about ways we could provide food for our food pantry clients over and above the canned, processed, non-perishable stuff we've always and only been able to share with them. Because of her heart for the idea and a passion for gardening, Sarah has a plan to start growing and sharing fresh vegetables around here for our Groceries of Grace food pantry clients in the future. We will very literally then be giving people something more and something better and something good to eat, along with all the rest, thanks to Sarah's willingness to make it happen. And she will be looking for helpers. You give them something to eat. But it's not just about bread and fish or fruits and vegetables, people. With the beginning of this new school year, Pastor Aaron heard there was some grumbling from parents in our community about the handful of half days that we'll have over the course of this school year in New Palestine. The grumbling is all about how hard it can be for working parents to find daycare for children on those half-day afternoons. So we're opening Cross of Grace to host and to entertain and to care for as many as 50 elementary-aged kids on those days in the year ahead. We're grateful for those of you who've already said you would help, and we hope it will meet a need for some hungry people in a new way, and there is room for more of you to help make that happen. You give them something to eat. A month or so ago, Kim Wingo emailed me to let me know she was looking to start a new support group for people dealing with suicide. And she's made that happen. Because of a need in her own life and a perceived need in our community, a new group meets on Thursday nights at Greenfield, 5 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. They met last week. They will meet on Thursdays going forward. She's feeding a hunger and she's meeting a need. She's taken it upon herself to give people something meaningful and holy and helpful to eat. And isn't there some way each of us might feed somebody else, too? Maybe it's that coworker you know could use a hand or some encouragement. Maybe it's a neighbor or a classmate having a hard time. Maybe it's something around here, helping with Sunday school in the fall, sharing a meal or a conversation with someone who needs it, starting a new small group of your own. Let's not wait for someone else to do it. Let's not pretend we're not capable or qualified or called even to respond to the needs around us. And let's not wait for Jesus to do it all by himself. Let's be amazed by this story. Let's wonder about the miracle that Jesus does, but let's think about our mission here too, as a congregation, as individual followers of Christ in this place. Let's hear Jesus' command for each of us to give the world something to eat. And let's realize that we have already all we need to make it happen. That because of God's high opinion and regard for God's people, because of God's love for us, we are called and capable and doing the work of Christ in and for the sake of the world, and that when we do it, there will be more than enough of that kind of love and grace and hope to go around, and there will be leftovers beside. Amen.